welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, I don't know how far we'll get today, but I'm going to start talking about faith in God. But does anybody have these wee notebooks? I saw this during the week and sort of Deborah's, I think, during the week. They're great, so they're for their BCCs, the notebooks. Have made them up in the office. There's still a number of them. They're £2 each. And why I'm promoting that, if you get those, it's nice because it's for the house. But if you don't have this, get a notebook and take notes. I encourage you, take notes this morning. Maybe you've come without a notebook. Find something to scribble on. You know, it's the enemy comes to steal the word. And it's so easy for him to steal the word when we haven't even written it down. And so you'll always see me in church, I always have a notebook. No matter if I've heard that subject over and over and over again. And some of the young adults have always said, Pastor Karen, why are you taking notes? Sure, you know this. It's because while the anointed word is going forth, Holy Spirit speaks things to me and he illuminates his word to me. So please begin taking notes where you can. Hallelujah. So God, we just thank you for this word today. We thank you that you light it up. You give revelation knowledge of it to us. And we thank you for impartation of the word and that we can take it and we apply it to our lives. My life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith in God is a subject I just wanted to start teaching a little bit on. I know we've heard a lot of about faith over the years here in BCC, and this church was established by Mum and Dad, who have pioneered their way by faith. Hallelujah. So just starting out, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know, says, if anybody be in Christ, they are a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. And when we've accepted Jesus into our life, we became that new creation, our new creature, some translations say. And the Bible says that we each are given a measure of faith. Each one of us were given the same measure of faith. God is such a fair God. He's so fair, so we're all dealt. The Bible says and translated, he dealt us all a measure of faith. And then it's what we do with that faith after that. So we're going to talk about that today. And I've just entitled this message, Why Faith? Why Faith? So Romans 1 and 17, I'm just picking out the phrase in these verses, they're short verses, but Romans 1, 17 says, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? We are the just, isn't that right? Just as if we've never sinned. Those that have taken Jesus into their heart, we are the just, we are the righteous. And so the just, that's us, shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2, 4, what does it say? It says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 and 11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38, guess what it says, Christian? The just shall live by faith. So that's us. And how are we to live? By faith. But there's I think there's a bit of misunderstanding in circles, Christian circles. Sometimes they think it's just the clergy or the fivefold or the ministers are to live by faith. You know, maybe because of the way we talk, you know, I did this by faith, but we're all called to live by faith. All of us, every one of us, are called to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith. So we're called to live by faith. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. We all know we've got these bodies and they've got the natural eyes and ears and the senses and everything else. And sometimes when we get born again, we become that new creation. We lean back on those senses and the eyes and the ears and everything. You know, God is, reason we have that is because we have to walk as part of this earth. And so, you know, we need those eyes to be able to cross the road and everything else. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're new creations in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, and we're spirit beings, and our spirit man is called to live and walk by faith, right? So faith is not a doctrinal position. It's not a doctrinal position. We're not just learning, oh, where Pastor Karen's doing a nice wee teaching today on faith, and I'll be able to get that wee, put my notes aside, and I'll just categorize that faith. No, we are to live by this substance, faith. We are to go to sleep in faith. We are to get up in faith. We're going to work in faith. We've got to, you know, eat in faith. We've got to talk to our children in faith. It's all by faith. So it's not a doctrinal position. It's not a movement. Anybody heard, oh, they're Faith Church. Watch out for those guys. They're Faith Church. Whoever has heard of something so ridiculous for a Christian to say they're a Faith Church? Is that not so ridiculous? If you ever hear that, please say, that is so stupid, because as a Christian, you're to walk by faith. So it's not a particular church is a faith church. Faith is not a movement. It's not a doctrinal position. It's life. It's the way we speak. It's the way we hear. It's the way we think. It's the way we talk. It's all by faith, isn't it? It's by faith the just shall live. By faith. Not read a book on faith. The just shall live by faith. And, you know, the reason why we need to learn why faith is because Father God functions in faith. And he only functions in faith. Father God has never functioned in doubt. He has never functioned in worry. He's never functioned in fear. You know, it says, Hebrews, will turn to now. Who knows the faith chapter in Hebrews? Anybody call it out? What chapter in Hebrews? Chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter, or the rogue gallery of everybody. Not even everybody in the Bible, but those people that really by faith did great exploits by God. Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to study it in faith, that's always where you go. And Hebrews chapter 11, if we turn there quickly and we turn to verse 3. You know, there's so much we can talk about by faith because it's our whole life. So I can only put a wee nutshell here, right? Because this is the way we have to live. So I can't talk about an awful lot this morning. So I want to pick out a few things. So faith, why faith? It's because my Father God functions in faith. No other way. And Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, God spoke and the world came into existence. We know that when we go back to Genesis. God spoke the words. Now, did he just rattle out those words and not believe them? No, we know he spoke out those words and he believed them because things happened. Stars appeared, the moon appeared, the light was separated from the darkness and so forth. So God functions, Father God functions by faith. Psalm 33 in verse 6, following this thought, says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, by the words that came out of his mouth. And if you skip down to verse 9 of the same chapter, Psalm 33, it says, when he spoke, the world was created, and at his command, everything appeared. Do you think our words are important? And when we speak words, you think if we're called to live by faith, then when words come out of our mouth, what should they be? Words of faith. Words of faith. So God brought everything into existence by faith. He doesn't function in fear or doubt or unbelief. And because he functions that way and he operates that way. He's created everything that way. Everything he does is so successful. He's victorious. And because now we're his children, he's called us to be imitators of him. So Father functions in faith. He's called us his children. So how are we to function? By faith. By faith. And every reaction we choose, everything that comes is our reaction. It can be a fear reaction. It can be a worry reaction. It can be a faith reaction. And it's our faith that pleases God. You know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? How can two walk together? So Father God functions in faith. We're his children. He says, be imitators of me. And Father God wants to go in faith and he wants to go this way. How can I walk with Father? And because he wants to go this way in faith, I've got to come into agreement. If he's saying, Karen, I want you to go this way, and I go, I don't know if I can go that way. That doubt. How will I go with him unless I'm agreed? So it's so, so important. Faith that we're in agreement. It's a husband and wife. It's so easy, isn't it? Once a husband and wife, they get married. It's just so easy. They just do everything together. And there's no problem. They just think the same. Have you ever noticed that, Tanya? You just think the same things. You go to buy something and you just think, oh, that's great of the whole shop. Not right, Ryan? And you just think so much the same. And you come to do the house and you've just got the same ideas. Because the husbands and wives are always in agreement. They're always flowing together as one. And that husband's taking the head of the home and that wife is coming along and she's so submissive to you. Oh, yes, dear. Well, maybe I'd like this. I'd like that, but, you know, whatever you say, dear. And that happens in all of our homes, doesn't it? That happens in my home too. It really happens in my home too. And it's so important because if the husband takes the lead and if the wife doesn't come along with him, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? How can they? So if wives, if you're not happy with where the husband's taking the lead, you better hit the floor, baby, and start to pray. And I've done that a lot. If you need to come and talk to me, you can come and talk to me. And I'm still doing that a lot. And Brian's doing it a lot. I hope she follows me. Any husbands had to do that? Oh, God, help me. She's such a strong woman. What am I going to do? Oh, my dear. Please, God, help her to follow. Any husbands ever said that?
No, you're all fibbing.
Now you get beat up. So we've got to walk together with the Lord in agreement. Isn't that right? The only way you can walk with God in agreement is by faith. And faith is not a doctrinal position. It is not a movement. It's the way we live. It's the way we think. It's the way we sleep. It's the way we get up. It's the way we do everything. It's the way we respond and not react. It's by faith. By faith. It's the way we take a step. And, you know, God leads out the steps. And you remember Abraham? It's Genesis chapter 12. God called Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take your family, get out from your father's house and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And in those days, they were kind of nomads. They didn't travel very far from one another. And so it was a big deal when Abraham would have said to everybody that he was with, my family and I, we're going. Where are you going, Abraham? Well, I'm going to a land where God's going to show me. But where is that, Abraham? Well, I don't quite know right at the moment, but I think I'm just going to start going in that direction. I mean, that took faith, didn't it? To leave all, take his family, take all that, the sheep and the oxen, whatever he had, and go, not knowing where he was going, but his trust was that God is leading me to a place and a land that he has promised to me. And God leads us in steps. He leads us with to take the first step. That can be in anything. It can be a big decision and a small decision. And we have to take that first step, trust in him. And it takes faith to step out. That's why he's given us a measure of faith. And that's why we need to grow our faith. And we grow our faith by the word of God. But we'll look at that another week. I'm just talking this week, why faith? So you need faith to take that first step, trust in God. Well, after I take, what will I do then? Where will I go next? I have to trust God. Oh, the next step is over here. Okay, I've made it here. Is that enough, Lord? No, I want you to take another step. Where am I to go this time, Lord? And you're trusting he's going to lead you to a good place. He's going to lead you to a broad place in whatever step that is that we have to take. And, you know, Father knows everything. He holds the future. He knows our future. He knows what we can take. And he knows how much he can give us at any given time. Remember he said in John 17, or 16 or 17, he says to his disciples, there's more I'd love to show you, but you're not ready. I felt that many a time. God, I want to know more, but I just feel in my heart, I'm not ready. If God is to show you everything about your life, you may be fainted on the floor. If he was to reveal it to you right now, we'd have to go around picking you off the floor. He leads us step by step. Because some of us would totally react in fear. What, me? If I knew that God was going to have me behind a pulpit when I was a young girl and I was, you know, a shy type, I don't know what I would have done. Mom and Dad kind of teased me out of that a little bit. You know, we had gypsies visits when we lived up in Cooley one time and I had a little money box. And remember Mom, she was teaching you to go in the kitchen and I don't know what she'd do in the kitchen, but she says, stand for me in money box, in my money box. And I had to lay sit stand guard. There wasn't a lot in that money box, I'm sure, but I had to stand guard there. And, you know, I didn't have anything to say because I was shy. But, you know, if God had revealed I would be preaching one day, it would have been too much for me. So it's step by step. And no matter what that, whether it's your career or who you're going to marry, what you're going to do, whatever it is. And so I was talking to Mom during the week, and she reminded me of a time I asked her, Mom, have you a story in your life that you took a step? And she says, yes. First, this story just came to mind. And it was what the time when I was 2 years old, Stephen was 4 months, Dad was in Bible school, Dad had left us all behind Northern Ireland and gone to Bible school for a year. So Mom had us and the children living up in Kilcooley. And he was in Bible school, and I'm not sure of the ins and outs, probably got some support, but not a lot of support. It was just enough for him to have his digs and go through Bible school over there. And basically, I think Mom had to really believe God for a lot, you know, for the rent money and everything she needed for the children. But Dad got on the phone this particular time. He says, Mom, the Assemblies of God, the Assemblies of God Bible School he went to, he says, they're having a retreat, a week's retreat, and it was down in Bognor Regis. He says, would you come over? I'd love you to come. Love you to come over for the week. Bring the children. Be great to see you. And it's going to be such a great conference, a high faith time and all. So Mom got into prayer and she says, Lord, but one thing before she got into prayer, Dad says, now if you come, Hilly, you've got to come with all the money. You've got to believe God for the whole money for you to come. So she got into prayer and she says, Lord, I don't have the money to go, but there's an excitement stirred in her spirit. She says, I'd love to go. Love to go to this conference. Oh, I just, you know, she's hungry for the things of God. Of course she's going to spend time with Dad and have the wee kids with her. So in that time of prayer, the excitement was in her heart. She knew one of the ways that, you know, you're being led by the Holy Ghost is there's an excitement in your heart. So she knew that excitement. She decided, okay, I'm going to go. And she had to make quick decisions because she had to go on the boat that night. Is that right? Or the plane you were flying over. So it was that night. She had to go. Had to make quick decisions. So she says, I don't have the money, God. What am I going to do with not having the money? But God dropped this verse into her spirit. And it's Ephesians 3:20. And we all know that verse. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all We ask or think according to the power that works in us. So she was ready to step into faith in that verse. Well, not long after she came out of prayer, of course, the enemy, we have an enemy, who knows we have an enemy, started whispering in her ear, are you mad? Are you stupid? You've no money. And you're trying to take two wee kids over and John hasn't money over there. Are you stupid? And she put that thought down and she stood in that verse. No, my God said he will do exceedingly abundantly above all. So then all of a sudden God dropped in her heart. She'd been saving her rent money. And she went to the rent money. He said, use that money. And she said, okay. She knew the voice of God. She looked through the envelope. She was £5 short. But it was enough to get her over there. So off she went, booked her flight, went over. Some of the family in London met her off the plane, took her, put her in the train down to Bognor Regis, arrived to Dad. Oh, great, Hilary. Lovely to see you. Ready to start the conference. Give us the money, Hilary. We have to, you know, pay for accommodation or digs and everything. Here it is, John. Only thing is, I'm £5 short. Now, Dad is a man of faith and power. But he nearly collapsed when he heard he needed another £5. And now this is 52 years ago. Do you know what I want to bring out in that? We're all on a journey. You've got to start somewhere. And Dad was on a journey. He wouldn't buckle like that now, but he buckled. I said, what, Hilary? I'm going to be so embarrassed. What am I going to do? And you can imagine I'd have been the same. He made it. I've told you, Hilary, don't come unless you've all that money. She said, well, John, I had a piece about it. So anyway, then Dad got a wee reminder from Holy Spirit. He'd been given an envelope not long before that. So he opened the envelope, and sure enough, what was in the envelope but a check? How much for? Anyone guess? £5 check. That was great, but then he thought, how am I going to cash it? Different day way back then. Oh, it was 25? Okay, Mum thought it was fine. How am I going to cash it? So anyway, as they're going into conference, he saw one of his friends and so forth of a ministry. He said, any chance of you cashing this for me? He was able to cash it. They were able to pay for everything. Enjoyed the conference, had a great time. Mum went back up to London after, met with some of the family. And, you know, the kids, we had a wee holiday over there with them. Then when she got home, my Nana met her off the boat. Came home in the boat. My wee Nana met her off the boat. And so there's the obvious question. Who's following me? What's the obvious question? Where's the rent money? Yeah, where's the rent money? So that night, my Nana, Mum's mum, had a friend called Ina. And Ina hadn't been well, and she had to go into hospital. She must have been very seriously ill. She said to my Nana, Mum's mum, look, if I don't come out of hospital, I want you to move my ring and my watch and a few things in my wallet, whatever money's in the wallet. So that night, my mum's returning the boat with us. Ina passed away into glory. But there Nana was left with the wallet and watch and whatever else. Went up to the boat to collect Mum. On the way up, God had dealt with her heart. That wallet was for Hilary. So Mum, off the boat, told her about Ina, opened the wallet, and there was just enough money to cover the rent money and some left over for groceries. Is that not amazing? The very night she gets back on the land. God, I tell you, I mean, we have so many. I'm sure you have faith stories to tell. I thought that was just a good one. Now, if Mum had not stepped out in faith, and that, come on, ladies, that would have taken a lot of faith. Use your rent, your mortgage money. And two wee kids, so then she would have missed out a whole faith conference and meeting Dad, having a nice wee holiday. God wanted to bless her. God's a good God. You know what I tell you? Whatever he says to do, step out and do it. Because there's blessing in it. Now, it may not be a bed of roses. And, you know, you may get a wee bit of the heebie-jeebies. Oh, sure, you know. But that's why it's so important to know the voice of God. Because when you know the voice of God, when you know it's through God, you can confidently say, okay, I'm going to do that. And trust him more and more and more. Amen. You know, God delights in his kids just trusting him. And that's what it's all about. It was I think it was last year, and I was at a service, and I just heard in the spirit, I just want to be believed. I just want to be believed, Karen. And it was for the people. I just want to be believed. And I said it out, but I felt grieved inside. And the Holy Ghost would be just going, I just want to be believed. But these people weren't believing. I just want to be believed. Did that not break your heart? And I think that it's like a dad. You know, I used to watch Brian, and he'd have the kids on the wall or on the stairs or something, and he'd say, jump. And he'd fling, you know, and he'd catch them in his arms. I'm sure every dad has done that at some point. Now imagine, Dad, if you were there and your kid would not jump off the wall because he didn't trust you to catch him. What would it do to your heart? Well, it's no different to Heavenly Father. No different. It's our faith that pleases him. You know, religion teaches us that, you know, live by being good, by keeping rules, by being perfect, making no mistakes, doing everything just right. God's looking at the heart all the time. And he wants us to have a spirit of faith, and that's why he says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And, Hebrews, back to Hebrews 11, I'm just closing up in a few minutes. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And isn't that awesome? To have a testimony, please God. This man pleased God so much, God just took him. He didn't have to go through that. God just took him. He pleased God. Next verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The just shall live by faith. And that Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. This is why faith is not a doctrinal position. Faith is not a movement. Faith is not a church. Faith is how you walk, you talk, you think, you sleep, you do, you act. It's by faith. It's the only way to please God. The only way to please him. And it says here in this verse, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love that verse. He who comes to God must believe. It's not optional. It's not if you like it. It's must, strong word, must believe. And that he is a rewarder. Who believes that God is a rewarder? God is a rewarder, and he has got rewards for us. And not just financially. We always just think financially. No. Every which way he's a rewarder. He knows the desires of our heart. In fact, he put the desires there. He knows more than we do what the desires of our heart are. That's why when something good happens, I go, that's even better than I thought. It's because God knows the desires of our heart. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I want to make him happy. And, you know, God, he's just so awesome. I'm just trying to find my last week page, see if I've covered everything here. So each one has been given the measure of faith. We'll look at it again, how faith comes, but it comes by the word of God, hearing and hearing and hearing the word. That's why it's so important that we're taking notes. That's why you're through the week, you're in the word, you're listening to teaching, but even listen to teaching or YouTube or whatever, it's no substitute to reading the Word of God, because this Word's living, and this is how faith comes. And, you know, everybody, there's all different types and levels of faith. He's dealt all of us a different measure, but we're all at different levels of faith. Someone who's just got born again yesterday or today will not have the same level of faith as me. But over the years, I've been putting the Word of God, I've been acting, I've been taking steps, some huge steps, you know, so my faith has grown. So we're all at different levels of faith. But faith is like a muscle, and it needs to be exercised. You know, like you, when you go to the gym, you have to work and you have to exercise. You see some of those big bodybuilders, and they've got these big muscles popping out all over them. All over, and that's okay. For me personally, that's okay if it's on a guy. I'm not so keen if it's on a girl. I see some of those big women bodybuilders. But the big muscles popped out all over. And then when I start the gym, I don't have big muscles. I have to realize they've been at this a long time. I've only started the gym, you know? But just like working out in the physical realm, you can work, you can be at the gym 3 times a week, 5 times a week, you can be taking your protein supplements, doing all your exercises, and you can grow quite fast. And other people could be maybe a bit like me, you sign up for the gym and maybe you don't go for a month or two, and then when you do go, it could be just for a half an hour every so often. And those wee muscles grow at a little, you know, they take a wee step forward and then they take a wee step back. And that's just like us in the spiritual. So people are at different levels of faith, but we've all got the same measure. It's all for us to grow it. And you know what? I just hope this morning by this, it's whet our appetite afresh to live by faith, to walk by faith, to get our faith muscle and start to exercise and start to grow it. Because when God tells you to take that step, then you're going to be more able, yes, I trust you, because you've done it before. You've done it before. And then once he has you taken a step or step, and then he'll talk to you about something else, you go, well, that's a very big step that you're asking me to do. Can we not go back to the tiny wee ones? You know, he has you starting in tiny little ones that don't really matter. I mean, if Mum hadn't have gone to on the boat, it wouldn't have raised. She would have missed out on the holiday and all, but it wasn't a life and death, right? But when he calls you to make a big decision that's going to affect the course of your life, and you want to have taken wee baby steps before those big steps come. Isn't that right? So hallelujah. It's just closing prayer today. Praise God. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for faith that you've given us, each one a measure of faith. And I thank you, God, you've given it to us that we can grow, we can please you, Lord God, that we are God pleasers, Father, and that we will accomplish great things for you, God, great things in your kingdom. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us today. And we're just hungry for more of your presence, hungry for miracles, signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we thank you for the harvest that is coming in. We give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord. Father, we thank you for this place being full of names on Thursday night, God. And Father, as we pray over the names, Lord, we're expecting great things, and we're expecting that salvation is now, Lord, that we look around when we come and these seats start filling up, Lord God. God does tremendous things in our family, whether it's here or whether they're abroad, wherever they are, but we start to realize and have answers to the promises of your word as to how soul salvation. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.